Welcome to Voice of Evolution Radio, conversations that awaken, inspire, and activate, with producer and host, Linda Lombardo.
Welcome to Voice of Evolution Radio. I'm Linda Lombardo. My guest tonight is Alan Seal. Alan is an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, transformation catalyst, and the founder and director of the Center for Transformational Presence. His very first book, Intuitive Living, A Sacred Path, received the prestigious Coalition of Visionary Resources Award for Best Book in Spirituality in 2001. His other books include Soul Mission, Life Vision, The Manifestation Wheel, The Power of Your Presence, and Create a World That Works. His upcoming book, Transformation in Action, Making a Difference in a Rapidly Changing World, is scheduled for publication in 2017. On a more personal note, Alan was our first guest back when we called ourselves the Voice of Leadership in 2012. Over the past 3 years, so much has changed, evolved for both this radio program, now Voice of Evolution Radio, and for Alan and the Center for Transformational Presence. With over 400 graduates of the Transformational Presence Leadership and Coach Training Program from 30 countries and counting, Alan's work to co-create a world that works is taking him around the globe and back again as more and more people awaken to the power of presence and the questions that ask, what is your vision or dream? The one that won't let go of you. What is the difference you want to make? It was an honor having Alan as a guest in 2012, and it is once again an honor to welcome him to my studio. Hi, Alan. Welcome back to Voice of Evolution Radio.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I'm so glad. Alan, I'm eager to hear all about what's been happening with the Center for Transformational Presence. And first, knowing that so many new listeners are here for this program, I want them to know a little bit more about you and your journey as a conscious evolutionary. All of your honors, degrees, and certifications aside, who is Alan Seal, really? I told you I was going to ask that question.
Yeah, that's great, and it's so wonderful to talk about it more from the personal side and not just that string of things, you know. My first career was as a singer and a voice teacher in New York City, and that was a fantastic thing. I said when I left graduate school, my goal was to teach singers who sang on the biggest stages of the world. And by the time I was 40, I was doing that. But I was also kind of reaching a place of saying, you know, I'm really good at this. And my students are very successful, but I'm not learning anything now. Of course, there's always something more to learn, but I was kind of at that place where I couldn't imagine spending the rest of my life sitting on the piano bench listening to one singer at a time. I kept feeling like there's something more that I'm supposed to be doing now. And coupled with that was just a very practical thing that I was living in New York City, and I didn't want to live in New York forever. But as long as I made my living teaching singers at that level, that's really where I had to live. So in the late 90s, I heard about this thing called coaching, and I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. I was already doing work with performers and working with energy and how energy moved through their bodies and their whole energy system, and working on that with their performance. And so in some ways, I was kind of bridging over to some other work at that point anyway. And so I went off to my first weekend of CTI. It was where I did my first training. And I was just like coming home. It made so much sense to me. It was just like, yeah, this is the right thing. And so I finished the CTI program, and that was in 2001 that I finished that program. And within 2 years, by 2003, I had completely shifted my work over to coaching and sold my apartment in New York and left. And that was a wonderful kind of shift that felt to me so organic. It just felt so incredibly natural. I still, at that point, would have had no—I had no idea that I would be where I am now in 2015, and that all that has happened would have happened. I never set out to work internationally. That was not kind of in my view at that point. I just was basically kind of saying yes to what I was being asked for and seeing what would come up. So I was just really excited about doing coaching and helping people make big steps in their lives and seeing where that led. And I had already written the first book, Intuitive Living, when I started the coaching, and actually my second book was in publication at the point that I was finishing up CTI. And even then, I just thought it's sort of this just helping people make big difference, make a change in their lives. That's where I'm headed here. And then I became a part of a program in Europe that was kind of an inaugural program of a coach training, advanced coach training program that does not exist anymore. But I was with, I think there were 22 or 23 coaches from 7 different countries in that program. And so I went over 3 times for that program. And in that program was a coach from Sweden who was running a coach training program at that time in Stockholm. So she invited me to come to Stockholm and lead a workshop for the coaches in her program on intuition. So I went to Stockholm and did that, and it was actually kind of a very funny story of how that unfolded, because she was also taking a group of coaches to the Nordic Coaching Conference in Tønsberg, Norway. This was in 2006. And so she said, we're all going to be on a bus for 7 hours, so we're going to do the workshop on the bus. And so it was actually so much fun. We had this whole workshop on intuition while riding the bus across Sweden and Norway. So anyway, then I went on to the Nordic Coaching Conference, where I met a coach from the southern part of Sweden who we worked together in a breakout session and a partner exercise, and then she hired me to be her coach, and then she invited me to come to southern Sweden, to Malmö, to lead a workshop. And then in that workshop, was a friend of someone in the Netherlands and called her and said, I think you might want to talk to this guy and bring him to the Netherlands. And so one thing just led to another, to another, to another. And now I'm working in 9 countries this year. And it's just been the most extraordinary unfolding of simply following what seems to want to happen and saying yes to what life is asking you for.
And you really seem to have been called forth into the coaching community and into that whole arena. There's something I have to ask you, because I'm hearing this. I had forgotten the music education, the voice work, and so many of myself included, actually, began in the arts, mm-hmm. as performers, as artists, and made this transition into the coaching world in such an intuitive way. I always ask my guests, what do you think there is, or do you think there is a connection somehow between that, between the arts, between the coaching piece, or what do you think might create that leap from one to the other?
There is... when you're working in the arts, especially as a performer, then there is, if you are performing and you're on the stage with other people, there's a lot going on the stage. And so you're juggling a lot of things, a lot of information at once. You have to be aware on many, many levels of what's going on. If you are successful as a performer, you are really also, there's a way that you're tapping into the energy of the audience. There is this circle of energy that's going on there. So there's an awareness that, to me, is very present with a wonderful performer that can also really serve in coaching if you step out of being a performer, but step into that energy of paying attention to what's there on so many levels. So I think that's one piece of it. And then there's the whole creative aspect of it, which, what is creativity? It's tapping into the quantum field. It's tapping into the greater consciousness and bringing through ideas. It's learning how to be in a flow of inspiration. And to me, we talk about this a lot in transformational presence coaching, of that dancing in the moment thing that we talk about in coaching. But it's not just dancing with my client said this, and so therefore I'm going to say that, or my client used this word, and so I'm going to use that word and ask this question. It's dancing in the moment on 1,000 layers of awareness, that you're dancing with your client at the soul level, and as well as dancing with them on the verbal level, and and every space in between. I think that people who've been in the arts have a certain sensibility about that, especially if they have really had some success in the arts, because, I mean, the success meaning simply that they really, really developed those skills. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but...
That probably makes more sense than any other explanation I've ever gotten. Because as you were saying that, there's a big yes, a yes and here from me, that it absolutely makes perfect sense. The different screens, the different layers, the dancing in a moment, the moment, this moment with a client, and meeting them where they are. And as performers, we really do have to meet the other actor or the other singer or dancer exactly where they are. And
yeah.
That's what we do as coaches.
And you have to be able to respond to whatever's happening in the moment. I mean, if you're doing live performance, and it's one thing if you're on the stage by yourself, but if you're on the stage with others, then there's a lot going on, and things happen in live performance, and you got to deal with it right there on the spot. So.
Oh, that's so true. And I even think when we're on the stage by ourselves, we're never really by ourselves, because there are all those behind-the-scenes folks who we're dancing
yes,
with, and they're dancing with us. And and so there is always that awareness of really, you know, looking out into the field of what's there and playing into or dancing in that moment. So I really appreciate that, that answer. It gives me a much better understanding of why perhaps that seems to be such a great leap for so many artists. And I'm not saying that you have to have that to be great at coaching or anything else, and yet it just seems that so many of my guests come on and they say, well, I was an artist before, I was an actor before, and I'm thinking, what here? There's something in this space here, so I really appreciate that.
Mm. Yeah.
So you mentioned transformational presence work. What is it all about?
You know, I like to talk about that first by kind of taking those two words apart and defining those, because when I first started talking about presence, nobody was talking about presence, and yet I realized it's a conversation we need to be having, which is simply, how are you showing up? Presence is, how are you showing up to life? What is the energy or the energy that you radiate? What do people experience when they are in your presence? So to recognize that presence is not just about being present, it's about the energy that you are bringing to this present moment. And so then when we put that word transformation in front of it, transformation is a word that's now showing up everywhere. And when that happens, we risk losing our connection to the power of the word, what that word really means. And so when we come back to that word transformation, it comes from the Latin root transforma, which literally means change across form. Transformation is something that happens at the essence level, at the core level. It's in quantum physics terms, you would say it's a shift in vibrational frequency or pattern. And so when something shifts down at the core of our belief system or our perception or our worldview, then things start to change in how we engage in the world. This is true for an individual or a society or an organization, that it's the transformation is not something that happens on the surface. It happens from a shift in understanding, a shift in awareness, which then creates a change across form. So then transformational presence is a presence that creates the best possible conditions for transformation to inform. I think of it being like a garden. When you plant a seed, there is nothing you can do to make that seed grow. But there are many things you can do to encourage that seed to grow. So you can plant it in the best possible or the richest soil. You plant it in a place where it's going to get the right amount of light, and you make sure it has the right amount of water, and you pull the weeds to give it space to breathe and to grow. You do all these things to nurture it, to create the best possible environment for that seed to grow. And that's what we're doing as transformation workers in the world, is creating the best possible space to allow transformation to happen. Transformation is not something that you can make happen. That's manipulation. But instead, it's about creating these best possible conditions to allow something to unfold. So transformational presence is about being a really good gardener. It's about creating the best possible conditions, the best possible space for those that you serve, for things to happen, things to unfold. We work a lot with that question, what wants to happen? Not what do I want, what do you want, or even what do we want, or what does our company want, but looking at a much bigger picture. There's something here that wants to happen. There's a greater potential that's waiting to unfold. What if we tap into that? Transformational presence is all about tapping into that energy and listening to it and following it and saying, okay, so what is it asking us for? What's the next step it's asking us to take? And how is it asking us to show up?
That leads me to the question, what do you see wanting to happen in the world right now?
Oof.
I want to add, you said something very powerful, and I point this out to be the voice of my listeners as well. We can't make it happen. We can't make transformation happen. And there is this idea of the great turning right now, that we are in this evolutionary process, or that we're being called to be conscious evolutionaries in a way that humanity has never been asked to before. And most species, they evolve because there's a need. A fish doesn't say, you know, the water's drying up, so I think I better grow some feet so I can survive. And so I'm curious to know your thoughts about that, as well as what do you see wanting to happen in the world right now?
Hmm.
A lot of questions, I know.
Yeah. One of the, this is just taking me so many places. Let's talk first about a concept of visioning. Before trying to tackle that question of what's wanting to happen in the world, well, maybe if I come to that, the thing that I'm hearing inside my head right now is, what wants to happen is for us to learn to be able to hear one another. So maybe that's a start. A couple of years ago, I was on a call, a transformational leadership dialogue call, and a colleague of mine and I were talking on the call, and I don't remember what we were talking about now, but after we talked for about 45 minutes, then we opened it up for questions and comments, and this woman immediately said, oh, this is so great. I love everything you're talking about. It's so fantastic. I love every bit of it, but you don't understand my company. And then somebody else right away, yeah, and in my company. It was all the reasons immediately why none of this can happen. And I left the call. The call turned out to be actually pretty amazing, but I left the call being frustrated because I felt like I didn't know what to say to her. It's not that I had to have an answer for her, but I didn't have the question. I felt like I didn't have a way to help her take a next step. And I went for a walk with my dogs and looking for what can help here. When we're in this question of how, and we're in this question of where things are so enormous, what wants to happen in the world, what's a vision for the world, what is that, it's too big to I have no idea how to answer that question. And so I went for the walk to say, what do we do when we're in that place of it's so huge, we have no idea where to begin? And the first thing I heard was three things. What are three things you know to be true? And this was the unfolding then of a coaching tool I call the Deep Simple. And I've talked about it at some of the big ICF conferences. So in the Deep Simple, that first question, and it's designed for those moments when it's so complex and complicated that we have no idea where to begin. So that first question is, what are three things that we know to be true right now about where we are? And those three truths can be anything. It's not truth with a capital T. It's just whatever is up for you, whatever is true for you right now. And the second question is, of those three things, which one holds the power for us to work with right now? The question is not, what do you want to talk about right now? What do you want to work on right now? It's, the question is, which one holds the power for us to work with right now? So of that thing, question number three, of that thing that holds the power, what wants to shift there? There's something that wants to shift with that. What is that? And with that thing that wants to shift, question number four, so what's that asking of you? What role is it asking you to play? What step is it asking you to take? Who is it asking you to be? How is it asking you to show up? And then question number five, so then as you show up in that, what is one step you know that you can take today? To come back to your question of what is wanting to happen in the world today, I think that there are lots of things that are wanting to happen. And if we are busy trying to figure out that one thing and just make that one thing happen, then we're losing a lot of time and energy that we can't afford. Instead, for each one of us to be saying, what's the world asking me for? My next step. I don't even have to have a big, huge vision about it. If I have a big vision, great. But because I don't have the big vision or know exactly where I'm going, doesn't mean not to start. We are so caught. We get so caught in that question of how. And we've been so conditioned not to take a step until we think we know where we're going, or until we have the answers, or until we know we can do it right, or all those things. And in today's world, nobody has the answer. Nobody knows how. We're going places where we've never been before. And if we're not going there, we're certainly being asked to go there. We just have been afraid to go there. And so stepping away from this place of, I have to have the big vision, or I have to know where I'm going, or I have to, and simply listening to what's coming up. What are we being asked for? What wants to happen next? And just take that step. And from that, we'll be shown the next step. And then we take that step. And from that, we'll be shown the step after that. There's so many things that are wanting to happen in the world today, and if we can come back to them as a place of, rather than second-guessing what should happen for everyone, because we are different cultures and we're all in different places on our own learning journeys in different cultures and countries in the world. So there's not a one-size-fits-all. It comes much more to me of how are we connecting to one another, how are we listening to one another, how are we being sensitive to the fact that we are all in different places in our learning curves and allow for that. How do we step away from this idea of a perfect world, or that there should just be peace for all, or that's not it. That is not it. We're here in this world to learn. And that's why we come. And it's giving each other, this is another big thing to me that wants to happen in the world, is giving one another permission to learn, giving our leaders permission to learn, permission to make a mistake and learn from it, and then make a different choice from there. I don't know if any of this is making any sense, but I'm just sort of letting it roll as what's coming
it's
in response
activating
to your question.
It's activating a lot of different thoughts in me, and in no particular order. The idea of giving one another permission to learn. I wrote at one point, as I was making a note, and I wrote the fear of failing, and the idea that if we're here to learn, there is no failing. It is if we can hold things as an experiment, if we can hold things as a project, where we don't know the outcome, because sometimes we don't even know how. How can we be expected to know the outcome? We can certainly project an outcome, or we can intention an outcome. And yet that automatically sets us up for some judging, I think. I'd be curious to know what you think about that.
Limitations as well. If you project that outcome in too specific a way and then become attached to that outcome, you have just limited what can happen. You've told the potential what to become instead of letting it show you. So there's a huge shift, paradigm shift, that's wanting to happen here about us learning how to listen to potential and partner with potential, to partner with a future that's waiting to unfold, to sense those possible ways that the wave can collapse into the particle, if we put it in quantum physics terms, and sense, here's the one that, this is where the energy is. This is where what really wants to happen in service of a greater good, in service of something bigger than us. How do we partner with that? Just listen to it, and it will show you how to partner with it. It will tell you everything you need to know if you'll pay attention.
I love partnering with the potential.
That's what transformational presence work is all about. It's about partnering with that potential.
And we're going to talk more about that. I also, when I heard you say, what's the world asking me for? I'm wondering, too, in some of the work that I do outside of the radio program, sometimes it needs to be as, and I'm going to use the word small, and I don't mean that in any kind of judgmental way. Sometimes it needs to be, maybe it needs to be as simple as, what's my world asking me for?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the world feels big, and as so many of us are in this overwhelm about everything that's going on around us and where do we find our place in all of this, I think asking, what's my world asking mm-hmm. me for right now, and beginning with something that feels very personal and very intimate.
I love what you're saying about that, and because it's you know, we are needing, we need workers and supporters and facilitators and healers and all those things at every single level of society. And so certainly to be asking, what's my world? For some people, their world is their family. And for some people, their world is their community or their company. And for some people, their world is the globe. It is the world. And we need people listening at every single one of those levels.
It's a partnership.
It's
on all
totally
levels.
A partnership. It is. Everything is about co-creation. You know, the transformational presence work is based on three fundamental principles. The first is that everything is energy in motion and a process unfolding. So nothing exists in isolation. Everything is a part of a larger flow. And the second one, which is so relevant to what we're talking about right now, is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. So we were talking about performing, if you're in improvisation, the first rule of improvisation is that you have to accept whatever your improvisation partners give you and work with it, or the whole performance is going to fall apart. Well, that's how life works. Whatever is in front of us has just become our next co-creative partner. It's not about liking it or not liking it. It doesn't matter whether or not you like it. It's what's there. And it's the next thing to work with. And the more we can step into that awareness, to step away from the judgments, to step away from label as good, bad, right, wrong, and to simply say, this is what's in front of me right now. It's just become my next co-creative partner. Here we go.
So to say yes, and then to say yes and, which are mm-hmm. part of the rules of improv, mm-hmm. is something that's showing up more and more in leadership work. I actually use some of it in my own leadership work. And it's starting to show up more and more mainstream than simply these are the rules of improv. These are mm-hmm. actually bigger rules. These are universal rules.
These are rules of life.
You say quantum,
rules
quantum
life.
Physics rules.
Yeah, yeah. It's how the world works. It's how the world works. I remember at one point when you and I did a radio show on that question, how the world works, and talking about the hermetic principles. You know, it's the more we can understand how the world works as energy in motion, then everything starts to come into place in a different way.
And so of these three principles, these three fundamental principles of transformational presence, the first, I heard energy in motion, that where it's all part of a greater picture. And the second I heard is that energy can only be transformed. It can't be created. It can't be destroyed.
It can only be transformed.
And it can only be transformed.
Yeah. And the third one, which we didn't talk about, is that the universe is a matrix of relationships, that things happen in the relationship space, and that's where the powerful place is for us to work. In coaching, it's easy to get caught up in thinking that we're, or in leadership, that we're leading the team, or we're leading the project, or we are focusing on a situation. But the truth is that we're working in our relationship to the project. We're working in the team. We're working with the relationships between the people. We're working with our relationship to a belief. We're working with the relationship of one belief to another belief, or one person to an organization. I mean, everything is in relationship to everything else. And it's in the relationship space is where we do our powerful work.
And you and I both having a background to coaching through the Coaches Training Institute, through CTI, which you mentioned before, that idea of co-active, mm-hmm. right? The being in relation with, as well as the doing in leadership. And there's an awful lot of leadership where it is not that front of the room person. It's not the one standing up speaking. In fact, one of the most important parts of leadership is knowing when to sit down and stop talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be with and create with everything else that's around you. So that it shifts a lot the traditional definition of what leadership is.
Well, it's understanding the being awareness has to always come before the doing. And ultimately, they are in partnership as well, the being and the doing. They both have to be present in order to have the greatest success of wherever you're going. But and in the greatest awareness. But it's the being first. All of our work in transformational presence is really based on three fundamental questions. The first question is what wants to happen, or what's the opportunity here, or what's wanting to shift, or what's the breakthrough that's ready to happen. Those are all variations on that question, what wants to happen. And then question number two is, so who's that asking me to be? How's it asking me to show up? What parts of me is it asking me to bring forward? And then question number three is, what's it asking us to do? What's it asking me to do? And we most of the time just go right to question number three, and we don't pause to check out questions one and two. So the key is that we're asking those three questions in that order. If we're going to do transformational work, we have to start with that first question. So what wants to happen here? And then who's it asking me to be? What's it asking me for? And then what's it asking me to do?
And the inherent challenge or danger in not asking those questions in that order, or simply going straight to question three, what's it asking me to do, is often, and I just heard you say this before, often we don't know, or if we do have an answer, we don't know how. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do know about humans and our very nature is that often when we don't know how, it stops us in our tracks.
Exactly.
We shrug and say, well, I don't know, it's too hard, I don't know, let me just go back to, maybe it's not for me, or maybe I'm too small to do this.
Which is really why the deep simple is become such a powerful thing, because it gives us a way to step past that question of how, or I don't know what to do, or whatever, because we tend to think of the what to do, and by the way, it's not that we skip right to what is it asking me to do, we jump right to what am I going to do. We don't even listen to what is it asking us to do. And so when we're looking here at this whole idea of what are we going to do, we again tend to think of that in the really big picture. I have to have the whole answer. I have to know the solution. I have to know the whole plan. And that's no longer we don't have that any longer today, because things are moving so fast that even if you have your 10-step plan, by the time you get to step two, the ground will have shifted and everything will have changed anyway, and the rest of the plan will no longer be relevant. And so it's to help us step back from what are we going to do in the big picture to just what's the next step. There's just a next step, and there's the deep simple to just help you find, okay, here's my next step. And then I'll find the step after that. Imagine what could happen in the world if our leaders could be brave enough, courageous enough, could be given permission to say, I don't have any idea. I don't know. However, I'm willing to start exploring and take one step at a time. What could change in our world if we gave our leaders permission to acknowledge what the fact is happening anyway? They don't know any more than the rest of us do.
Yeah, and I love it. And I personally felt such relief when you were asking the questions before. What if you don't know and you're just going to explore, you're just going to take the first step? It was a tremendous relief in that space of giving myself permission to be in that space. Mm. I think we have an expert complex in the world. We project it on our leaders, as well as I think many of our leaders, or our certainly our famous or infamous leaders, are in that complex of having to be the expert. And that seems like such a difficult place to stay in for any length of time.
It's a scary place. You know, I kind of have this fantasy. I talk about this sometimes when I'm working in organizations or training coaches. And so, you know, I have this fantasy there's a company and they're going to hire a new CEO. And they say, so we're willing to pay you $500,000 a year to have all the answers. And we're willing to pay you $5 million a year to not have any answers.
Oh, I love
that. What if we were saying to our leaders, please, don't have all the answers. Please explore. Please open for discovery. One of the characteristics of transformational presence is that you're creating a culture of discovery for the people that you serve. One of the questions, one of the things that we work with all the time in training transformational presence coaches and leaders is we talk about keep the client, keep the person that you're serving in discovery all the time. As soon as your question takes them into a figure it out place, it's over. Keep them in a discovery place, which means you're keeping them in an intuitive place. They're operating from the intuitive mind all the time. Because the intuitive mind is the larger mind. The intellect is just one small part of that much larger intuitive mind. We need the intellect. But the intellect is really good at organizing information. It's not very good at going out and getting the information. That's what the intuitive mind is good at.
Here's what I make up about this as you're saying that, the idea of a culture of discovery, and I love keeping the client in discovery, that alone is worth just a small fortune to every coach that's out there. Our society, without making it wrong, because this is what worked and this is how it is, we have taken away curiosity and we've taken away discovery, and we have to know. Our schools teach facts. It doesn't teach children how to learn.
Mm-mm.
And that gets translated into our adulthood, that if we don't have the answer, often we're made wrong, often we seem foolish. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that this is one of the biggest challenges that we face no matter how different our cultures are, and there could be some cultures out there that are very much based in discovery, this seems to be one of the biggest transformations for us, is to simply give ourselves permission to be in discovery and to not worry about being right and wrong.
So that really comes back to giving ourselves permission to learn, and then along with permission to learn, then is giving ourselves skills and tools to learn. We're not taught how to learn. We're just taught what we're supposed to know, you know, the facts and the figures,
yeah.
As opposed to being taught a process for learning. You know, one of the things that another thing that we stress so much in the transformational presence work, it has to do with capacities. That skills and tools are really important. They're part of building your technique and your craft, but it's all ultimately in service of expanding and evolving your capacity for awareness, your capacity for understanding, your capacity for perception, your capacity for holding complexity, for being able to hold many, many things happening at the same time, your capacity for holding duality, your capacity for holding paradox. This whole thing of expanding our capacity is a huge piece for leadership in our world going forward, and for, frankly, all of us to be living a life that's really working for us.
Alan, what do you... That's going to sound like an expert question. I was going to say, what do you know? And there's probably an element of truth in that knowing. What do you know about the impact that transformational presence is making on people's leadership and coaching? What have you seen? What have you discovered? Maybe that's a better way to ask the question.
you know, it's interesting because people are starting to say, where are your case studies? And we don't have any of those case studies. We don't have all that stuff. And in a way, this work is the way in the form that it's taken through transformational presence is still so relatively new on the horizon that we don't have big things that we can say. What I can tell you is the difference that I see is how people, an expansion in how people think. And as they start to think differently, they start to take action differently. And so I see this with CEOs, I see this with managers, I see this with certainly with coaches, but I see it also with therapists, I see it with teachers, I see it with parents, I see it with everyone who comes in to do this work. What happens is a shift in their capacity for understanding and awareness. And because of that, they start making choices in a different way, and they start understanding the world as a matrix of relationships. They start understanding the world as everything being connected to everything else. Their worldview shifts, which means they start making choices and decisions that are in service of something much bigger than themselves.
So big service.
Yeah. It's in service of a greater good. It's realizing that I'm a part of something much larger. And when we can start looking at any negotiation as an example to say, okay, our starting place is that everybody has to win here. It's not to say that everybody's going to get everything that they want, but everybody has to get something. Everybody has to get at least some part of what they need. That's already an enormous shift, whether that's for business or government or politics or families.
It is.
That everybody has to get some, at least some of what they need here.
As you've traveled, I mentioned in the introduction, you've become a world traveler because there's been such a demand for transformational presence work. Have you traveled to all these different countries, whether you've been a speaker or you've been a teacher, facilitator? Are you noticing cultural differences in terms of this discovery, creating this discovery or this capacity for awareness?
I start to notice that, I don't want to say this, the cultural differences get more and more superficial, because within 2 hours of any workshop, and my workshops are generally four or five days. But within the first 2 hours, something has shifted and we're operating at much closer to the soul level. And once you're at that level, we're all the same. When we are, the cultural differences that you notice are, you know, in some cultures talk more easily in public than others. Some people share their own stories more easily. Some cultures are much more private. Some, whatever. There's all those different kinds of cultural differences, but that feels it's more on the surface and not. As soon as we get down to that soul level, everything is, all those cultural differences disappear. That we're meeting in a whole other place. So we've had three global gatherings of graduates of the Transformational Presence work. We called them the Transformational Presence Global Summit. And last year, somebody asked one of the graduates from the UK, said, you know, so what is it? How do you describe this work? And he got this funny look on his face, and he said, well, we start deep and then go deeper. Just like, there's no need to start on the surface. We just start deep and then we go deeper. You know, when you get to the essence, when you get to the core, then transformation happens down at that level. It doesn't happen on the surface. And so we have to cut through the complexity in order for any transformation to happen. I'm not saying that the answer to all of our challenges, the answers are simple. But what I am saying is that it's the simplest yet most powerful questions that cut through the complexity often and get us to where we need to be. It's cutting through the complexity. It's cutting through from the surface down to what's really going on at the essence level and start from there. And we work our way out from there. Then we really have a chance of making a shift. So if we're going to do transformational work, it's about getting down to the fundamental core beliefs, core worldview, core understanding of how the world works. When you shift people's awareness and understanding at that level, then things are going to start, it's going to ripple out in an enormous way and very quickly. When you make shifts at that level, change happens fast.
As we've been talking about transformational work and evolution, has your core message and your work transformed or evolved at all? And if so, how?
It's funny that you asked that question because my blog post that came out yesterday, and it'll be the newsletter article that comes out tomorrow, is called "What Is Your Core Message?" And it was kind of a journey for me this summer, actually, to... I turned 60 back in the spring, and so I'm starting to I've been exploring. So then, what's the next decade? What's the focus there, and what's coming next? And so the question I kept hearing all summer was, "What is your core message?" And at first, I thought, so core message and soul mission, as I call it, or life purpose, they must be the same thing. And then I started to be with that and realize, well, there's actually a distinction. Soul mission is that life purpose, and it doesn't change. It may your understanding of it may evolve over time, but the essence of it doesn't change. Your core message, on the other hand, that's more of a vehicle of how you're living that soul mission, and it might change over time. So I started sitting with that question: what is your core message? And it really came down to awareness. And I realized that it's been that for a long time. I think what's happening right now is it's getting, I feel like as I'm coming into my 60s, that it's just getting even more streamlined, realizing that awareness is the key to everything. And the more expanded our awareness and understanding, the more we can see that bigger picture of life and the more we can understand how the world works. We have this incredible gift now of being able to tap into the ancient wisdom teachings and then quantum physics showing us the science behind those teachings. So that convergence is fantastic. And to be able to understand how life works, how the world works as energy and motion, and then follow those rules, if you will. I mean, just that understanding shows you how to work with what is. It shows you how to respond to what's happening. And so it's the core message, awareness.
Awareness.
Yeah.
And would that be the one thing that you would suggest perhaps my listeners, you know, with everything that's going on around us, is if they could do one thing to get grounded or to begin a journey, perhaps, if they feel that they're at the beginning of a journey, or even shift a journey, would that be the one thing that you would recommend, or might it be something else?
You know, mindfulness is becoming another big buzzword out there, and so it makes me a little nervous when something that's as important as mindfulness is. Mindfulness is incredibly important. And as soon as it becomes the buzzword out there, then it's like, oh, God, what's going to happen next? But but if we come back to what is mindfulness, it is simply giving all of your focus and attention to what's happening right here, right now. So it's about being fully present, and it's about being aware of the presence that you're bringing to this present moment. And so there's an incredibly simple exercise that we start out with in transformational presence work, and that is first just be aware of your body in the chair. And then feel the clothes on your skin. And feel the air on your skin. It's a more subtle awareness. And be aware of one part of your body touching another part. And be aware of the many layers of sound, the close-up sounds and the far-away sounds. Obviously, in doing this exercise, we take it a little slower. But it's such a simple process to, in 60 seconds or 2 minutes at the most, to become fully present right here, right now, and paying attention. If we talk about awareness as the key message, and what is the tool? The work that's unfolding for me now, and it's a part of this next book that I'm writing. I'm talking about four prototypes that we can live into as we embody the energy of these prototypes. It can help us become much more effective leaders and servants in the world. And the first one of those prototypes is the seer. So what can we do? One thing that our listeners can do is become mindful and learn to see beyond the obvious. And to when I say the seer, it's really about perception. Learn to perceive, learn to hear, learn to see, learn to feel beyond the obvious, to be able to perceive beyond what others are perceiving. It's starting to be aware at many, many layers of reality, many layers of a situation or a circumstance, many layers of a conversation. Again, as coaches and leaders, that's our job, is to be aware of what's happening in every moment with those that we serve, not just on the surface, but what's going on way down deep inside.
Alan, how can my listeners find out more? Where can they go to learn more about your work and transformational presence?
So our website is transformationalpresence.org, transformationalpresence.org. And it's a pretty big website. There are lots of resources there to support you, many free things as well as various services and programs that we offer. So there's a lot there for you. There's a huge blog with so many, many, many articles. So take your time and explore there, and see what's speaking to you, what's jumping out at you and saying, pay attention to me, whether that's just an article to read or whether it's a workshop or doing the transformational presence work or the transformation in action workshop or personal coaching or whatever it is. Just, you know, poke around on the site and let it draw you in whatever way feels right for you.
Great. And thank you so much for being my guest and your generosity in sharing so much with my listeners today.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure. I've loved this conversation. I love doing interviews because people ask questions and I get to discover more things just so we get to talk about. The way you ask a question always brings out something new. So that's thank you for your presence and what you've brought to our conversation today.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank my listeners who are on their own journeys, whether they're just starting out or they're somewhere else in the process. I want to thank you for supporting this program and supporting my guests, and let you know that you can follow us here on blogtalkradio.com/Voice of Evolution Radio, or you can like us on Facebook at Voice of Evolution Radio. And there's a new Twitter name for us where you can follow us there, at Voice of Ev Radio, so Voice of EV Radio. Next week, our program features author, teacher, shaman, and rainmaker Robin Rice, bringing the question, now what, to the listeners as well as to the world. Until then, here's to conversations that awaken, inspire, and activate. Good night, Alan. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.